This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue to work remotely after a positive COVID case involving a member of our Cincinnati Public Radio family, but we do hope to be back in the studio soon. We have three segments for you in today's show, two of which were recorded before we evacuated the offices, and one recorded this morning via Zoom. So parts of the show will sound differently than we're used to, and we're grateful for your patience as we, like you, continue to navigate this pandemic. But we wanted to make sure we brought you the latest on the arrest of a member of Cincinnati City Council, the second member of council arrested this year on bribery charges. And we start our coverage this afternoon with WVXU reporter and host Ann Thompson. Ann, thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you could be with us. I know that you covered the news conference involving federal agents this week, and I want to hear a little bit about what was said there. Let's hear from FBI Special Agent in Charge of Cincinnati, Chris Hoffman, and U.S. Attorney David DeVillers.
I mean, where does Cincinnati want to be on the map? Do they want to be known as that city where you can't get a fair deal? And if you want, we want people to come here to start businesses, to develop, and to make Cincinnati the best place to live. And if you're a developer and you're afraid you can't get a fair shake, maybe you're going to go somewhere else.
It's almost like this entitlement from, at least two of our city councilmen this year. And I think overall in Ohio, we've got corruption cases in Dayton, we've got, of course, the State House. And it's incredible and shocking and amazing to me how this sort of entitlement seems to come from a lot of politicians. Not all politicians, but a lot of them.
And again, that was FBI Special Agent in Charge of Cincinnati, Chris Hoffman, and United States Attorney David DeVillers. And we're talking about Cincinnati City Councilman Jeff Pastor, arrested this week on federal bribery charges. What did you learn at the news conference?
So this is quite disturbing in a news conference at the FBI office in just, you know, months after, as you mentioned in your intro, another Cincinnati City Council member was accused, and former City Council member, I should say, and admitted to this. But the cases were totally separate. Jeff Pastor is accused in a 10-count indictment of bribery, extortion, money laundering, wire fraud, and theft, allegedly taking place from August of 2018 to February 19. So as Chris Hoffman pointed out, only 6 months apparently into his office, Jeff Pastor was already allegedly approaching developers wanting cash to vote certain way on a couple of developments. $55,000 in bribes supposedly received, $45,000 of it in cash, some promised in salaries and investments. And it apparently was a former Cincinnati Bengal who was involved in one of the developments who helped police nab Jeff Pastor.
So when we talk about $55,000, do we know yet whether any official action took place based on those allegations?
I'm not sure. Maybe Sherry can help me out in that.
Let's bring Sherry in. Ann Thompson from WVXU. We are joined also by the reporter who broke this story this week, Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Sharon Coolidge. Sherry, thank you for being with us as well.
Good afternoon.
Well, this was quite a scoop that you got this. You had this reported before the FBI's news conference came out. What can you tell us about Jeff Pastor's role in any of these developments after he allegedly received this bribe money?
Ann said earlier, I mean, this was just really just a stunning moment. Right out of the gate, Jeff Pastor, you know, they were elected 2017. He's one of the new council members sworn in January. The FBI got a tip pretty early on that, you know, he was seeking some pay-to-play deals and trying to sell his vote. And they were so concerned that they went to this former Bengal, Chinenimen Dukwe, who's, you know, he's a developer in our urban core. And they said, can you help us? And he said, I'm tired of being shaken down. I'll help you. I mean, that's like just what? I was like, what does that really refer to? We don't know. He did cooperate then. And, you know, it spanned into this huge investigation that involved undercover FBI agents pretending to be out of town developers. I mean, that is not the even the kind of investigation that we see all the time. It's just such a huge over months of what was going on.
So we noted, Sherry, and you're on the City Hall beat. You know these folks really well. You cover this place all day, every day. This is the second arrest on bribery charges. Can you talk a little bit about the feelings inside that building right now after a second such case?
I mean, I think people are pretty stunned. I do cover this, right? When you sit in that room and you hear them talk about development deals, and this is a very development deal center council, we haven't really seen like these huge projects. This, as much as they like to fight about the streetcar, they're not doing the streetcar right now. They do these development deals and they try and bring jobs into the city. And you expect those votes to be clean and not have any outside influence. This is 100% separate, he said, from what Tamaya Dinar did. So we have that path. We have this path. He said he's still looking into things. And so people, it's a guessing game now, and people really are stunned. This is not what the citizens of Cincinnati deserve. And the people who are not involved in this are like, what are we going to do about this?
And Michael, if I can interject, I was just going to say at the news conference, these officials were essentially calling on the public to help and kind of flip the switch and turn it from a culture of corruption to a culture of whistleblowers. So they're saying to the general public, if you have any information, you know, please let us know.
We're talking with Ann Thompson from WVXU and Sharon Coolidge from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Again, this is being recorded via Zoom since the Cincinnati Public Radio offices remain closed right now after a member of our staff tested positive for COVID. So thank you for your patience in listening to this being delivered in a way we're not entirely used to doing. And Ann, at that news conference, that was clearly a reference to the other council member, Tamaya Dinard, who has taken a plea deal since on similar charges. Can you talk a little bit more about what federal agents were saying about the way business appears to be conducted at the City Building?
Right. Well, it's just, and I have questions also for Sherry, like how did this, you know, get to be this far down the road? Who knew about this? Like, why didn't anybody know? And Special Agent in Charge Chris Hoffman was saying, from City Council to the State House. So we're not just talking about Cincinnati, of course, you know, Larry Householder and just the FBI is getting tired of, you know, all of this and just says, you know, I can't remember if it was Dave DeVillers or Hoffman who said, like, if you're a developer, why would you want to come here? We've got to clean things up.
Sherry, can you add some perspective to that?
You know, I was talking to some city leaders outside of City Hall last night, and they're very concerned about the brand of Cincinnati. They don't want this to be what people think. We do want outside developers to come. We do want companies to say, we want to put our world headquarters at the banks in the new 180 building. That's what these other leaders, the chamber, you know, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, they don't want this to be the narrative outside of Cincinnati. And they're super concerned about that.
Sherry, you had an interesting nugget in an earlier report that was published at the Inquirer online where you appear to have talked to Councilman Pastor about some suspicion before, and he denied that he was involved in any type of bribery. Can you shed some light at all, open your reporter's notebook to us, about what you were pursuing at that time?
You know, I had heard there were some issues with this 435 Elm and that Jeff Pastor was involved, you know, and not just me. There was some, he had taken this trip to Florida, which ends up getting detailed with, you know, Chinnanim and Dukwe and these undercover FBI agents. He kind of talked about it. And I was like, you took a trip? Like, that's not what Cincinnati City Council people do. They don't travel. They don't take like trips like that. And I had a lot of concerns about that. And so I did a lot of reporting. I saw some problems of my own, but it's not the kind of accusation you can lob out there. I had some sources talking to me. Nobody wanted to be on the record. And so, you know, there was a day in the summer where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ask them. Like, that's the best way to do it. And usually I just call them up. I did want to meet and, you know, and have coffee and like do it like face to face and have it recorded, right, for his sake and mine. Well, I don't record a lot of conversations, but something that serious. He insisted on meeting me in Washington Park on a very hot day. It was very odd, to say the least, but I did it because I needed to ask these questions. And if he was willing really to talk, I thought I might actually have a story. And I asked him about this trip. I asked him if he ever took a bribe, and he said no. Well, that's not true. He said that he had met with Mr. Ndukwe at the Queen City Club. They discussed his project, but nothing untoward. And then I specifically, and this was honestly, this was a hard question to ask. This isn't a question you ask people every day. Hey, did you take a bribe? But I did it. I asked him, and, you know, he said no, of course. And, you know, I wrote, we weren't recording this, but I wrote my notes down. I'm like, I'm showing you my notes. I'm taking a picture of my notes. Is this what you're saying to me? And so that's kind of how we did it. And then I still didn't feel like I had enough to write that story. And so I've just kind of had that sitting, you know, up to the side of my desk and thinking that something might be coming, like yesterday.
What was his demeanor like during that conversation in Washington Park where you were raising these very serious issues?
I felt like he expected me to ask those questions. Like he felt a little ready for that. And he probably knew I'd ask some other people about it. He seemed ready, but, you know, hesitant. And not his normal, I mean, I think you guys probably have had Jeff on, you know, his, you know, bubbly self, say anything, these rambling, you know, thought conversations. That's just how he is. And this conversation was, I asked a question, he answered the question. I asked a question, he answered a question, and not just some free flowing thing.
Let's talk a little bit. And just as a reminder, you're listening to Cincinnati Edition, a segment recorded via Zoom. Earlier today, I am joined by WVXU reporter and host Ann Thompson and also Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Sherry Coolidge. We're discussing the arrest of Cincinnati City Councilman Jeff Pastor on federal bribery charges. Sherry, there are some parallels to the Tamaya Dennard story. You know, we're talking about bribery involving developments. We're talking about a trip to Florida, right? I mean, this was something that Councilwoman Dennard had engaged in, apparently, as well. I mean, there are some real similarities here, but we should emphasize that these are completely separate alleged crimes.
Absolutely. And Tamaya Dennard has pleaded guilty, and she's going to be sentenced on the 24th. So we're, you know, kind of dropping the word alleged there.
And on the councilwoman, certainly alleged.
Yes. And of course, Jeff Pastor, it is an open indictment. But this is a huge takeaway for me between these two and House Bill 6, you know, the Larry Householder scandal. We are not reading indictments that are like, here's some allegations. We just think this. These are recorded conversations that people can see for themselves. In all three of these, you can see the pattern. Where they don't just say, this is what we know, trust these sentences in these indictments. These indictments are like, here's what we said, here's what they said, in these very clear-cut, you know, conversations. And I did, Jeff Pastor's going to have a public defender. I don't know who that is yet. I've not spoken to him or his attorney. I did have a chance to speak to Mr. Marshall, who is Jeff Pastor's associate involved in all of this. His attorney's Clyde Bennett II, very high profile attorney, well-respected. When I covered courts, I saw Clyde Bennett get homicide, you know, suspects off. He's a very good attorney, represented Tracy Hunter for a bit. And, you know, he did say his client is innocent. I do want to put that out there. He's like, my client, you know, was an associate of Jeff Pastor's, but it doesn't mean he knew what Jeff Pastor was doing. But you can read these for yourself, you know, and see exactly what was said in these conversations, and people can make the judgment themselves.
You said Councilman Pastor is going to have a public defender?
At this point, yes. I mean, in this system, you have to pay for your attorneys. Clyde Bennett is an expensive attorney. And, you know, I think part of Jeff Pastor's issue, I mean, council members make $65,000. And you're allowed to have an outside job. It's meant to be a part-time job, but that's not something that we've seen with Jeff Pastor. We've seen a lot of money problems in his past history. These are not the first stories where we're writing about Jeff Pastor having problems.
That's another parallel to Councilwoman Dennard, who had also had some financial difficulties in her past.
Yes.
So, you know, you cover City Hall. We've got an election next year. And I know that we've had you and our now former colleague, Jay Hanselman, Chris Wederick from the Business Courier on. And we've discussed as a group on the air about how, because of term limits, primarily the makeup of Cincinnati municipal leadership was going to be dramatically different after the election. But that's already taking place because Councilman Denard is gone. And now there are many calls for Councilman Pastor to resign due to these charges that he's facing. What type of impact can you anticipate this having on the election? Does this clear a path for reform candidates?
I mean, we're definitely going to see that. David Mann, his mother passed away and he was at her funeral all day yesterday. I heard from him very late last night. We were not bothering him and giving him some space. But you can see he is headed, he's running for mayor against PG. You can see that he is going to be running on, we have to change things. There's not a gang of five. There's not people pay to play. And I think this is going to be the central conversation, as it should be, in next year's council election. It's going to start at the mayor's race. I'm not ruling out outsiders getting in and saying, actually, you need an outsider to reform all of this. I don't think we've seen all the candidates running. The February 18th is the deadline to run for mayor. And, council has a longer way to go than that.
And that's just it. We've got two council members who have announced their plans to run for mayor, P.G. Sittenfeld and David Mann. We know that Councilman Chris Seelbach is term limited out. Then you had the forced resignation due to the arrest of Councilman Tamaya Denard. And you might see that we had someone who took the job in Washington. We had a councilwoman,
Amy Murray. So she paved the way for Betsy Sunderman to take her seat. We'll see. She's a Republican. We'll definitely see her. She's already ramping up her, campaign.
But I mean, this is a council that if, for example, as you suggest, an outsider gets involved in the mayor's race and is successful in that, I mean, by this time, I don't know, a year from now, we might see a whole bunch of new faces that we weren't talking about as recently as 5 months ago.
Absolutely. I think the conversation, as I'm kind of getting into today and like paying attention, is about the vetting of these council members. The system sets it up in a very difficult way. You're covering everybody at one time, a mayor's race and a council race, with dozens of candidates, coming out of that council race. It is a very difficult system where to vet everybody. But like, that is a conversation that has to happen, and that all has to happen by the public, by ourselves in the media. That's, I think, going to be a huge takeaway from this.
We're going to continue to talk about this. We do our Friday news review, and hopefully we're able to do that this week in some capacity. And we might be reaching out to see if you've got some more time to spend with us, Sherry. Who knows what's to come over the next 36 to 48 hours. I want to thank WVXU reporter and host Ann Thompson for helping set up this story and talk with Inquirer reporter Sherry Coolidge. My thanks to both of you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, our conversation with newly elected Hamilton County Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey, and later, how an organization is helping people facing charges who can't afford their bail. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.